And a good Saturday afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Ask the Experts. This hour on the show, we welcome Dr. Mark Reimer from the Reimer Clinic, as we are going to discuss colon cancer today, a serious topic and one that everyone should take a few minutes to think about. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Dave. Thank you for having me. March is Colon Cancer Awareness Month, and we're here to talk about how to prevent colon cancer. There are many things in life that pay our attention, certain things that we don't do because we know they're dangerous. We know to stop at a red light. And I'd really encourage everyone to put colon cancer screening in the same category. It's a huge problem, and I'd encourage everyone to take some action and think about it.
Is there some reason why we chose March as Colon Cancer Awareness Month?
I have no idea. I think it's a time of spring. It's a time of new beginnings. It's sort of after the New Year's resolutions have had a chance to run their course and to get things right and good for the summer.
Well, to start things off, we want to give people the contact information throughout the hour. If you'd like to call in with your questions, we welcome you to do that. 519-570-2545, out of town 1-800-570-5715, or *570 on your cell phone. You'll also find the Reimer Clinic over in the Frederick Mall. That's 385 Frederick Street, Unit 6. And get more information online at reimerclinic.ca. Why don't you start off by just telling us a bit about yourself and how you got yourself all set up in our community?
Certainly. Yes, it all started out way back in 1975, but I won't bore you with the details at the Grand River Hospital. Local boy, went to school here at Forest Heights, did my undergraduate training here in biochemistry at our famous University of Waterloo, and then went on and did medical training in London at the University of Western Ontario, residency in general surgery in Ottawa, fellowship in laparoscopic and endoscopic surgery in Hamilton at St. Joseph's Hospital, and as well some master's level training in administration in the United States. And these are skills I'm happy to bring back to our hometown here and to do something very useful, which is combating colon cancer, which in terms of colon cancer is the second leading cause of death among men from cancer, and among women it's the third leading cause of cancer death. So this is a great contribution, and it's a great service that's available to everybody who wants it.
I guess the most obvious question to start the show with is simply, what is colon cancer?
Right. Colon cancer is basically a growth that develops in the colon that can spread, can invade other organs, and eventually, in over half the time, if it's not detected, then almost all the time, can be fatal. Now, colon cancer is highly preventable if people take action, whether it's a fecal occult blood test that I'll refer to as a stool on a stick test, where you basically take a stool sample and send it away in the mail, and you get a letter back a few weeks later that says, or you might want to go on to a colonoscopy, or you can go straight to colonoscopy if you really want to be certain. The risk factors for colon cancer are several. It's diet, it's our environment, it's exercise, it's family history. But in the final analysis, you don't know if you have colon cancer or if you don't. And that's because the symptoms usually are not there until often it's too late. By the time symptoms develop, which are usually symptoms of obstruction, things such as bloating, things such as thinner stools, things such as abdominal pain, weight loss, then it's often too late. And we see too many people like that. And I'd really encourage everybody to do a test, colonoscopy, if you're dedicated enough to do this, because it's the best test. And of your options, what makes colonoscopy unique is that it has a very high preventative value. So most cancers develop over the course of about 10 years. They're fairly slow growing from polyps. Mm-hmm. Think of a polyp like a golf ball on a tee. So the ball itself is the polyp, and it has a little stalk, and you can see it well during colonoscopy, and you can cut it out. Now, most polyps won't go on to become cancer. Some of them will, and the question is, why run that risk? If you can get rid of a polyp, so much the better.
Mm-hmm. Now, you started off by saying that it's very treatable, and that's great, but to some people, when they hear very treatable, that's an excuse to say, well, if it's treatable, I don't really need to worry about it. Why should we be concerned about colon cancer?
Think of what someone goes through who has colon cancer. First of all, people are told if I do a colonoscopy on someone and I say, well, I'm a bit worried. I don't know for sure if you're going to have colon cancer, but we sent the samples. Rush, we'll find out very soon. and thoughts about people's lives start going through their heads. Am I going to be there for my daughter's graduation? Will I see my grandchildren? What about the financial security of my family? Oh my goodness, I wanted to do this and that and the other thing before my life ends. And very often people are afraid of the C word, and there's a sort of an ostrich phenomenon. If I don't know I have it and I'm not diagnosed with it, then I'm okay. Colon cancer, we've seen it cause too much harm, and it's preventable harm. And this is really not a bad thing, but a reason for hope, because we can do something about it. If I look at the Reimer Clinic here in Kitchener, since we opened our doors in late 2009, we have found roughly 80 cancers. And now colon cancer is over 60% fatal in all comers. So if you look at what we've been able to accomplish in those few years, if I drive by Woodside Cemetery or one of the other ones in town, and I say, this is great. Because of what we've done, there are 50 fewer tombstones that are going to be here 10 years down the road. Isn't that wonderful? And then think about what all those people are going to do with their lives and how much more living that we've created. It is certainly worth it. And that, I think, is one of the most uplifting and beneficial things that we can do for the community. And this is something we want to share with people, because we don't need to add to that count. We can save lives.
I guess the next question that comes to mind is, you know, what is actually the cause of colon cancer?
Right. There are two big categories in terms of what causes colon cancer. One is family history. So if a first-degree relative, so a parent, sadly sometimes a child, or a brother or sister has had colon cancer, then your risk of having it is roughly 1 in 7. So it's roughly doubled. There are also, and certainly colonoscopy, even according to the government recommendations, is the only test that you should be having. For other people who have other risk factors, for example, lifestyle factors, red meat, barbecue char, a sedentary lifestyle in terms of not enough exercise, smoking, drinking, all of these factors contribute to colon cancer risk as well. And for the most part, the recommended test that many family doctors have been kind enough to offer patients is this fecal occult blood test, which for people who are interested in passing in colon cancer is safe and cheap, easy on the public wallet, but it's not that great. And so for someone who is really committed, really wants to know, wants to have state-of-the-art health care, at least the way it is recommended by the American College of Gastroenterologists and American Colon Cancer Screening Networks, colonoscopy is really the better test. If we look at options, the fecal occult blood test reduces death from colon cancer by about 30%. This is good. And for someone who says, whoa, colonoscopy, I've heard bad things about that, that's not for me, then by all means, please get the fecal occult blood test, because it is proven to save lives. But if you want something better, far better, at least three times as good, colonoscopy really, really, really saves lives, three times more. And for people who are up for it, that's the way to go.
So you've already outlined some ways that we can help to prevent colon cancer. I mean, diet and being checked out and that sort of thing. Are there any other things you can do to increase your chances of not getting it?
Exactly. Good medical care is certainly helpful. I'd also suggest, for sure, back to the screening idea, back to the lifestyle idea. And in general, speak to people about it. There's often a stigma that is associated with colon cancer. People don't want to talk about the bowel and about bowel movements. And it's the butt of many jokes. And I've heard them all. And every time a new one comes into the clinic, yes, I'm sure I enjoy it as much as the average person. But I would really encourage people to make it not a dinner topic conversation, perhaps, but maybe in passing at work or with close friends. Feel free to broach the topic. And even if you're thinking of a great joke that comes to mind, maybe lead off with that one and see what the reaction is. Awareness is highly important in combating colon cancer. Because imagine, if everybody got screened, how many more lives could we save? And on a personal note, too, think about your own family and your own friends. Do you know someone who had colon cancer? And how did they do? Or maybe more importantly, do you know somebody who got close to the line, but because of medical interventions, is now doing extremely well, whether it meant just a colonoscopy or maybe they required surgery and chemotherapy and radiation therapy, and now it's 10 years out and they're doing well and they're having a great life.
My guest today on Ask the Experts, we're talking with Dr. Mark Reimer of the Reimer Clinic. It's over in the Frederick Mall in Kitchener. That's at 385 Frederick Street, Unit 6, and online at reimerclinic.ca. If you've got questions, now would be the time to ask them. We invite your calls at 519-570-2545, out of town 1-800-570-5715, or *570 hands-free on your cell phone. We'll take a short break. Then we'll be back with more of Ask the Experts here on 570 News. My guest is Dr. Mark Reimer of the Reimer Clinic here in Kitchener, online at reimerclinic.ca. You can also call them at 519-957-9730. But if you've got questions this hour, we'd love to hear from you right now on the air. 519-570-2545, out of town 1-800-570-5715, or *570 hands-free on your cell phone now. I mentioned you're over in the Frederick Mall here in Kitchener. You probably get asked all the time, why are you in a shopping mall?
Exactly. It's a wonderful location, all things considered. The colonoscopy procedures have been done out of hospital now for about 30 years, starting with a very well-known clinic in Toronto, and in other countries they've been done this way for a very long time also. So it's a logical progression or evolution that procedures like this for relatively healthy patients go out into the community, where they can be done more quickly and also, in our system, especially at lower cost. Now, the Frederick Mall is a very, very nice place. It's easily accessible from the entire region. It's on the highway. It's got tons of free parking available, so there's no need to fumble for change or to pay every time you go and see your hospital physician or clinic physician if they're billing charges for parking. And sometimes there can be a bit of a wait, and people often have a family member who comes to drive them home afterwards who stays around for the time of the procedure. So the Frederick Mall is a great place to spend time. A grocery store, a couple of restaurants, a food court. There's even a movie theater, although we don't hope there's enough time for people to take that in fully, a pet store. So there's lots to see and do in the mall, and it's a great place and a great community.
Okay, you've sold me on it then. Now, we talked a little bit about before the break, that with colon cancer, often there are no symptoms until, as you said, it's too late. And of course, that, you know, with no symptoms, people don't really think about it. If you do notice symptoms, what will they be?
Right. The symptoms of colon cancer, the most common one is really bleeding. Now, people usually think that bleeding is always from hemorrhoids. And they're almost always right. The question is, at what point do you go beyond that assumption and actually go in and have a look? Now, if it were hemorrhoids and something harmless that you got a choice between, well, okay, not a big issue. If it's hemorrhoids and something that could kill you, the issue is suddenly a whole lot more poignant. And this is why rectal bleeding is usually a very important reason to get yourself checked out, get yourself reassured, and make sure that the bleeding is not from hemorrhoids alone, but perhaps hemorrhoids and something else. The something else can often be a polyp. It doesn't have to be cancer. And for that reason, if you can take out the polyp, very often the rectal bleeding will stop, and also hemorrhoids can be treated. They're very simple procedures that are quite safe, such as putting rubber bands around them that work about half the time. It sort of pinches them off. And the best thing, though, for rectal bleeding, if once you've ruled out other causes, sinister ones, is just a diet high in fiber. About 30-35 grams per day is what the average person needs, and a bowl of high fiber cereal is about 15 grams, so two of those, and with that, lots and lots of water, about 8 glasses of water a day, because fiber without water is more like concrete. Fiber with water tends to run downhill like a rock and really encourages regular bowel habits. Other causes of hemorrhoids that cause trouble: straining, heavy lifting, prolonged sitting. You'll see them in pilots, you'll see them in office workers, you'll see them in weightlifters. But again, if you have rectal bleeding, it's a reason to be checked out for colon cancer.
Now, you've already said that the fecal occult blood test, which which you have a different name for, you said stool on a stick.
Did you dare? Right.
And, you know, this is the test where you send a sample away. And you said, you know, it's good, but it's not really good enough. Why is it not good enough?
Right. I'll just go a bit into a study from the New England Journal of Medicine that actually looked at how good this was. The reason we do it as a society is because it is a great screening test. It's cheap for our finances. It saves lives. And it's relatively easy to do. Now, that's good in one sense, But on the other hand, it's not that great. So what I'm going to quote here is a study from the New England Journal of Medicine, which is one of the most renowned and arguably the highest impact medical journal that there is. It was performed by a fellow called David Lieberman through Veterans Affairs in the United States, published in volume 345. So his group looked at, from 17,000 people, they found 3,196 of them who were eligible for screening. These are people who'd never had any sort of colon cancer screening before. And they did back-to-back, stool for occult blood, stool and a stick test, in other words, and then right away they went on to have colonoscopy. And then they looked at the results. And from that 3,000 pool of people, 306 of them had cancer or a high-grade lesion that was getting close to cancer. Now, that's what colonoscopy found. Take those 306 people, the stool for blood test, stool and stick test, was positive on only 23.9% of them. In other words, if someone had cancer in this study, the fecal occult blood test missed the cancer over 75% of the time. It's good to do, yes, but does that provide you with the peace of mind that you want to have? Family doctors recommend the fecal occult blood test for obvious reasons, but is that really good enough for you?
My first guess is, with missing that many cases, that no, it's not good enough. You should probably go the extra mile and actually have the colonoscopy. What else can you tell us about the benefits of having a colonoscopy?
It provides colon cancer protection for about 7 to 10 years, perhaps even longer afterwards. So it's extremely useful for that. It also allows us to diagnose other problems within the colon. And one of the most common ones that over half of people have as we age is something called diverticulosis. These are little pockets in the bowel wall, or you could refer to them as potholes, if you will. And the reason they're not so good is because stool can get impacted inside these potholes, and then it can become inflamed. And you have an effect, what is a little appendicitis, except usually on the left lower side of the belly and not on the right lower side where the appendix would be. Rarely do these things perforate, and then someone ends up with emergency surgery, usually in the middle of the night. And if we find those are present, then we reinforce the message of trying to avoid this problem, which goes back to a good diet, lots of fiber, plenty of fluids. You might have heard, or if you read about this, some of the older literature says avoid any type of food that could get stuck inside these diverticula, these potholes. So that would be nuts and seeds and corn and popcorn. The newer thinking really doesn't support that. So I always tell my patients eat what you like, but just avoid constipation. There's some new idea that perhaps probiotics may be useful. You could get your favorite one from the pharmacy, or even avoid the pharmacy altogether and just go to the grocery store aisle and eat your favorite yogurt. That's still preliminary, but there's some evidence that people who had inflamed diverticular disease recovered more quickly when probiotics were added to their treatment regimen.
So we've already discussed the fact that most people are not going to be real gung-ho about having a colonoscopy. Are there any other good things about having it done? So, you know, someone said, you've got to sell me on this procedure.
Right.
What do you tell them?
Well, I tell them it does not need to be painful. The most challenging part that most people remember about a colonoscopy is the laxative and is the preparation at the beginning. Some people do this willingly in what's called a colonic purge. And I have to say there's no medical evidence in mainstream medicine anyway that justifies that sort of approach. Sedation is available, so people can be quite comfortable throughout the procedure. Some fall asleep and have no idea anything has happened until they wake up. Others, it's quite the opposite. They're wide awake, with or without sedation. They're watching this on the screen, and they're just fascinated to see a new part of their body they'd never known that existed before. And as a doctor, to me, it's never boring to do a colonoscopy. Every landscape is different. The hills, the valleys, the blood vessels, are really unique, and to be able to share that with people and for them to see that part of their body is truly amazing. And then afterwards, everyone, of course, looks forward to food and eating a good meal yet again.
Okay. Well, you talked about some of the good things. We'll talk a little bit more about the things like sedation, because I know that's a big topic people want to know. We'll also talk about the things that aren't so great about having a colonoscopy. We want to be truthful. But above all, the reason we're doing the show today is to get people aware of colon cancer, and we will continue to do that. News is coming up. We'll be back with more from Dr. Mark Reimer of the Reimer Clinic here on 570 News. Thanks so much for joining us today. March is Colon Cancer Awareness Month, and that's why we've invited Dr. Mark Reimer of the Reimer Clinic on the show today. You can learn more at reimerclinic.ca, or you can call them at 519-957-9730. If you've got questions you want answered about colon cancer right now, 519-570-2545 is the number to call. Our lines are also open for out-of-town callers at 1-800-570-5715 or *570 hands-free on your cell phone. This hour we're talking about all aspects of colon cancer and having a colonoscopy as a means to, a preventative treatment to find out more. We talked about some of the benefits of having a colonoscopy, but we want to be truthful. What would you say most people tell you is the worst part about having a colonoscopy?
Right. There's always a lot of apprehension about the procedure itself. And when someone comes in and is a few minutes before the start of the test, it's rare that I see someone whose blood pressure is completely normal. We have them hooked up to vitals and blood pressure every 5 minutes and continuous oxygen saturation monitoring. And even oxygen is being provided just to make sure they continue breathing normally with the sedation. But yeah, people are a bit apprehensive about this portion. The most difficult part, though, in hindsight, is getting ready. It's drinking laxative. We have a 2-liter polyethylene glycol type laxative that doesn't taste great. It might be like a cranberry flavored salt water. People find that a bit difficult, but we try to split it in 2 halves so it's more palatable. There's also another 4-liter polyethylene glycol type preparation that can again also be taken in split dosing. This often is the hardest part. People are often worried, too, about the level of comfort during a colonoscopy. And yes, it's true, it has the potential to become uncomfortable. The main sensation while entering the colonoscope all the way through the large bowel to where the large bowel and the small bowel join is usually some cramping and some bloating as well as the instrument advances. And for that, I often tell people that, if you're sore, you can let us know and we can give you more sedation. And if for some reason it's not possible to get to the end, or perhaps we often see this in people who have a lot of cramping to begin with, the colonoscopy itself is maybe just a bit too tender, and for them we can always stop. So there's always a safe exit approach at any point. Coming out again, a bit of bloating as we have a look at the bowel. Afterwards, we encourage people to pass a lot of air. It's really just room air and nothing worse, and it really doesn't smell bad at all because the bowel is cleaner than it's ever been before. And this takes a bit of getting used to, and almost jokingly our nurses will tell the patients, listen, unless we hear that jet engine really rev up, we're not giving you some juice and cookies afterwards. And you can certainly look forward to a good meal and going back to a normal diet afterward. On a slightly more serious side, there are some medical risks with a colonoscopy as well. And those are the risks of causing bleeding, which is more so when you take out a polyp. And the bleeding can occur right up to 2 weeks after the procedure. Infection is very small. This is usually for lapses in sterilization, and that rate is about 1 in 1.8 million. What happens more commonly, but still much less commonly than cancer, about 1 in 3,000 risk of something called perforation, which is making a hole in the bowel by the scope. And that sometimes takes surgery to fix. The rate of completing the colonoscopy, that is getting all the way to what's called the cecum, which is where the large and the small bowel join, either the beginning or the end, depending on which side you're starting from. Getting all the way to that is about 95% of the time that you're successful and that you see the large bowel in its entirety. People who've had lower abdominal surgery, in particular women with hysterectomies, that can lead to some scarring. Who might have significant diverticulosis that we talked about earlier, those things can decrease the chance. Very importantly as well is that the colonoscopy be what's called a high-quality colonoscopy. And if you're having one of these, what you can do is to make sure that the preparation is as good as possible. Nothing is as unsatisfying for the patient as a colonoscopy where they find out afterwards, well, we didn't get there, we got there, but we really didn't see all that much because there was still too much stool around. You know, there's no obstructing cancer, but beyond that, I really can't tell you a whole lot. So I would encourage everyone who does this to take their time with the preparation. We've already taken every possible step to make it as easy as possible to go through, so please don't take additional shortcuts based on what your physician asks. And for most people, this works great. Other people, maybe if people are more prone to constipation, they may need a little bit more of a strenuous bowel preparation in advance to get a good result. But for the most part, the laxatives work extremely well, and people are quite happy to be done with the whole process. And then I encourage people to have a little bit of a mini vacation day. But most importantly, if you've had sedation, don't drive. You're impaired. The sedation is a little bit like a six-pack IV. It works very quickly. Think of it in the same way. Don't sign documents. Don't buy anything that's important. And don't go for a walk alone at night or in the afternoon. Remember to look both ways before you cross the street. And sometimes the sedation might even impair that. So just have a vacation and eat after your procedure.
Okay. We're going to go over to the phones now and take a call. So we're going to throw the headphones on there so we can hear the caller. But Bill has been waiting patiently. Hi, Bill. You're on 570 News.
Hi, Dave. Good afternoon, doctor.
Good afternoon.
I've had a couple of colonoscopies. I find sometimes the prep before the colonoscopy can be worse than the actual procedure. But a question now, I've had some polyps removed, some hemorrhoids and stuff like that. I just wondered now about the last 6 months, I've been experiencing a lot of urination, especially at night. I know you talked about, you know, a lot of fiber, a lot of water, that type of thing. But I try not to drink any water after 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon because it comes back to haunt me at night. So I'm just experiencing like 3-4 times at night a lot of urination. And I'm wondering if there's any relation there.
Right. Yes. Thanks, Bill, for your question. That's a very good question, a very, very common one as well. The urinary system, in particular the prostate, is extremely close to the colon. It's just a few millimeters forward of the rectum, in fact. But in terms of the biology of the systems, they're quite separate. We're looking at kidneys, the tubes between the kidneys and the bladder, and then outwards from there, in particular the prostate as well. For example, if that is enlarged, is a common reason why men in particular have to go more often to pass urine or to get up in the middle of the night for that. It's not directly in the field of colonoscopy, but it is something I would go and see your family doctor about and make sure that it is investigated, and if your family doctor can take care of it, wonderful. If there's some factors in there that might need further care, you'd probably be referred on to a urologist for further investigation. So, yeah, I would definitely suggest this is something to mention to your family doctor and to take it from there.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Bill, for calling.
Bill, thanks so much for your call today. And if you've got questions for Dr. Reimer, call us at 519-570-2545, out of town 1-800-570-5715, or *570, hands-free, on your cell phone. A lot of people in our region still don't have a family doctor. And they might be thinking, well, without a family doctor, I can't get a referral, so how can I actually have a colonoscopy? What's your answer?
Right. We've tried to make that easy. The percentage of people without a family doctor is extremely high, in spite of many efforts to try to provide one for everybody. We'd encourage people just to visit the website at reimerclinic.ca, and right on the homepage, you'll see a series of 4 easy steps. Just follow those, and we'll take it from there. Of course, if you can get a referral, we prefer that. It's someone who we can give back a report and who is going to look after your health in a more comprehensive way. But either way, colonoscopy is important. Visit the website, follow the steps, and we'll take care of you from there.
And then the other side of the coin is people who do have a family doctor, but their family doctor says, you don't need the colonoscopy. Let me just do the fecal occult blood test. We'll just do that. Mm-hmm. Well, you've told us we shouldn't be satisfied with that answer.
Right.
So what
right.
about what people in that situation?
Yeah. I would go back and discuss with your family doctor. It's important that there be good mutual communication between both people and that you understand each other. And treat each other in a very respectful manner. My hope is the family doctor would say, great, let's do the fecal occult blood test first, and then if it's positive, the provincial recommendation guideline wait time is about 6 weeks. Let's get you onto colonoscopy right away. if it's negative, then colonoscopy isn't that urgent, but it's still something to be done within the next half year to full year. And I think most family doctors would be supportive of that. The government certainly, in terms of compensating family doctors, has a whole bunch of health outcomes targets, prevention targets that include screening for different types of cancers and other health interventions that often form part of the compensation model for family doctors. And I know that having patients as part of the group that has done FOBT is good for family doctors in that sense. But certainly, if that helps, do that test for your family doctor and then do go on and do a test that's better for yourself as well.
A lot of people might also be a little concerned about the cost. Is the cost always covered by OHIP?
It used to be. Now there are certain exceptions. For example, I had a patient who was 43 years old and had a family history of colon cancer at age 56. The family doctor sent this person to us for colonoscopy and saw one of our other surgeons in December and said, I agree as well. And then he came to see me in January, and he no longer had OHIP insurance for his test because as of January 1st, OHIP wasn't paying for colonoscopies unless the person had age 50 or 10 years before the youngest first-degree relative to have had colon cancer. So even though we think we're OHIP insured, not in all cases will OHIP cover the procedure. We're working with family doctors to sort of clarify the new funding rules. Generally, they are based on evidence-based guidelines, so they are good things. In some cases, the new OHIP funding criteria differ from the American recommendations. For example, starting at age 40, if you've had a relative who had colon cancer under 60 as opposed to only 10 years before. The funding of colonoscopy out-of-hospital clinics is quite interesting because you end up in the discussion of the public versus private healthcare arena. The hospitals, of course, are fully funded by the tax dollar. The out-of-hospital clinics are funded to the tune of $22.35 for a colonoscopy, which is, in theory, supposed to pay for a staff of four nurses, one reprocessing technician, an office staff, a building, quality equipment, quality cleaning of that equipment, and that's just thoroughly inadequate. In many hospitals, that'll hardly get you out of the parking lot. So we are certainly working hard on a political level to try to encourage the representatives, our elected representatives, to fund this test properly. But in essence, it's been said that taxes are the amount of money I'm willing to pay for other people when they're sick. But when I'm sick, no amount of money is too little to be spent on me. And this is part of the problem. Colonoscopy is fairly expensive, and different priorities compete for very limited money. The fact is, for most people, and certainly for screening colonoscopy, it's still funded by the government, and it's something that I would encourage people to take advantage of. We do offer what's called a voluntary, non-mandatory block fee that people can pay for uninsured services such as prescription renewals or copies of medical records or refreshments that they want just for fun after the procedure. Although we are very direct with patients when we say that are under no obligation to pay it, but we do only get $22.35 for the insured service. So if you're willing to do it and can afford it, it ensures that services such as this are available for other people in the future. Although we look after everybody and all comers, rich and poor, and everyone gets the same level of high-quality care.
Here's a chance for you to blow your own horn a little bit, in as much as I'm going to ask you about your qualifications. You said you want to make sure you have a high-quality procedure, you're going with someone reputable. What are the physician qualifications to perform a colonoscopy?
Right, thank you. There are two specialties that perform colonoscopies in Ontario and throughout the world. These are generally, these are gastroenterologists and they are general surgeons. In Ontario, the majority of colonoscopies are performed by general surgeons. The training involves a university undergraduate degree, which is usually 4 years, then medical school, which is 4 years as well. Usually we have two 3-year programs at McMaster and Calgary. And then a residency, which is where you become a specialist, such as a general surgeon, which is 5 years of training. The same is said for gastroenterologists as well. And then frequently you take a subspecialty or a fellowship training. Now, that's not required to do colonoscopy. In my case, I was in an excellent program at Hamilton at St. Joseph's Hospital, where we subspecialized in laparoscopic surgery and also plenty of endoscopy, and this is really where I sort of cut my teeth and became very, very good at the procedure. Gastroenterologists have very similar training, and both of which are perfect people to do this test. Gastroenterologists deal with diseases of the gastrointestinal system from a more medical perspective. General surgeons, naturally, from a more operative perspective, and we overlap when it comes to endoscopy.
My guest today is Dr. Mark Reimer of the Reimer Clinic. You'll find them in the Frederick Mall in Kitchener, 385 Frederick Street, Unit 6, and online at reimerclinic.ca. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we'll actually talk about what happens when cancer is found, how often that happens, and we'd love to hear from you. We've still got time to take a couple of calls at 519-570-2545, out of town 1-800-570-5715, or star 570, hands-free, on your cell phone. More of Ask the Experts is on the way. Stick around right here on 570 News. My guest today on the show is Dr. Mark Reimer of the Reimer Clinic, as once again, March is Colon Cancer Awareness Month, and of course, that is our topic this hour. Let's head back over to the phones and take a call from Helen. Hi there, Helen. You're on 570 News.
Hello. Thanks for taking my call. I'm a colon cancer survivor. I had my cancer in 96, and I got in there just in the nick of time. But my question today is, and I'm getting a CEA test twice a year ever since. Can you tell me more about the benefits of that, Dr. Reimer?
Yes, thank you, Helen, for your question. CEA is a blood test that it checks for a substance that sometimes cancer cells might produce, colon cancer cells.
Yes.
So it's one way of trying to continue screening, looking for recurrences. And if the CEA level rises, then this is an indicator that suggests further testing is required. So,
and what numbers should I be looking at?
Usually if it goes into the low 4 range and above 4 is when it's time to check with your family doctor who ordered the test. Every lab has a similar reference range, but make sure you know what your test result was. I think that's important.
Yes.
And then ask your family doctor, is it in the normal range for that laboratory? And if it's not, then it may be time to repeat the test, or time to have another colonoscopy, or time to have a CAT scan of the abdomen, perhaps look at the chest. But most importantly, it starts with a good history and a good physical, where your family doctor would ask you all of the questions and try to elicit any symptoms that might be worrisome so that those can be investigated. It's a very important topic, and that you mentioned CEA. This is not why I went into colon cancer prevention, but it's something my mother had as well. She also had a colon cancer and was successfully operated on and is approaching 10 years out. And one of the wonderful things about being 10 years or more out after colon cancer surgery is that's effectively considered cure. So congratulations on that.
Oh, well, thank you. And then that's good news. And also, I wanted to just mention that the CEA test is $35, which is a very small amount to pay for peace of mind.
Absolutely. Helen, thank you so much for your call today and for sharing your story with us. Let's go right back over to the phones. This time we've got a call lined up from Jim. Hi there, Jim. You're on 570 News.
Thank you very much. I'm a senior citizen, heading to 68 this year old. I live not very far from Frederick Street Mall. Actually, isn't going to be the exact cost of the colonoscopy stuff. Mm-hmm. And I was wondering how long the operation takes, and would I be able to walk home after that, and how long is the wait to get in?
Right. Yes. Thanks, Jim. The cost of the colonoscopy can be zero. It's fully covered under OHIP, so that finances are not a barrier at all to coming into having your procedure done. The length of time of the procedure in the actual room, the actual test, is scheduled every half hour. So the procedure takes about 20 minutes, depending on how easy it is to get all the way to the end. Door-to-door time, perhaps an hour and a half to come in, to be registered, to ask any questions, to go to the procedure room, to wake up afterwards, to be, if you have sedation, fully alert enough to go home. In terms of going home, walking home is not the best way. In case you might be a bit wobbly on your legs, I would certainly have somebody with you, a friend, someone you trust. Take a taxi or have someone drive you would be key. Wait times, we're looking at about 4 weeks in terms of wait times, and compared to many other options, that's extremely fast. The other thing I would want to emphasize is in terms of overall healthiness of people. If you're generally healthy, you can walk up several flights of stairs, you don't have any diseases that impact your day-to-day life, you're probably healthy enough to have this done in an out-of-hospital clinic. Someone who is not that healthy is safer off in hospital. So we can look after almost everybody in a very short time frame.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Jim.
Jim, thank you so much for your call. Some great questions there. We've got a few minutes left in the show, and I think really what we should talk about now is the cases where you do find something. What happens when you do find a polyp that looks like it's cancerous?
Right. Most patients want to know. I'll tell the patient that this is what we found. I'm worried about this possibly becoming a cancer, and then we send the pathology out rush so that within a week we should have an answer back. And at that point, then we make a referral onto the cancer team at the hospital here, so the patient gets looked after right away. And a really good point of our public healthcare system is that if someone has cancer, you go right to the front of the line for good reason, and you get looked after quickly. So I'm glad we have that for patients. Another pathology report I was reading yesterday, it came back as cancer, and it didn't really look like cancer. And so this is someone we're going to call in next week and talk to them and unfortunately share the bad news, but then get them right into that fast system to be looked after.
And how do you actually share the results with your patients? Do you just call them or, say, come into the clinic and we'll talk? And
it's not an easy discussion to have, and it's one that I've had, unfortunately, with far too many many patients and then their husband or wife as well. It's always a particularly sensitive time, and usually it's something the patient has been suspecting. But it's important to be upfront. Tell them exactly what they have, not too little, not too much. Try to determine how much they want to know. But when someone receives news that is as life-changing as that one word can be, that C word, very often it's hard to imagine or to remember anything else that's said. So it's important that people are reassured that they know they're going to be looked after properly, that they're not alone, and that there's a large system out there that's going to look after them and that cares about their well-being.
And I think that's the important part. As you said at the start of the show, I think it's important to note that getting this done early, doing the preventative measures and that sort of thing has helped you save a lot of people who continue to go on and have really great, productive lives.
Exactly. And that is the reward of doing this work. The benefit from it is immense. The other big reward is that people who have finished a colonoscopy, I describe it as a bit like, although I've never done it, although I wish I could, like running a marathon. I can imagine that you have some aches and pains and you persevere, and eventually once the patient gets to the finish line and finishes the colonoscopy, there's always a big smile on their face, especially when you've said, yes, everything is normal, there's no need to come back and do this again for another 10 years. They're hungry, they're ready to sit down at their favorite meal or go to their favorite restaurant, and they've got their loved one with them to take them home, and that's always a high point of the whole procedure, to give that reassurance and that peace of mind.
Well, as we've been saying throughout the hour, March is Colon Cancer Awareness Month. It's a good time to have that discussion with your family doctor and get the referral, or if you don't have a family doctor, to go online to reimerclinic.ca and follow the procedure, the list of steps to go in and still have the procedure done. I want to thank you for being on the show today.
Thank you.
It's been very, very enlightening. We've learned a lot, and I hope a lot of people are going to consider coming to see you in the next few weeks.
Thank you for having me, Dave. It's been a pleasure.
My guest, Dr. Mark Reimer of the Reimer Clinic in the Frederick Mall in Kitchener, 385 Frederick Street, and you can learn more online at reimerclinic.ca. Thanks for listening. Join us again next Saturday for more of Ask the Experts here on 570 News.